Reach Out and Respond.
Welcome to the Relevant Radio Reach Out and Respond Summer Pledge Drive.
Call now.
All right. Welcome. Let's begin in prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when we pray the Memorare at the beginning of each hour of the show, you know it's pledge drive time. And that prayer is intended not only to encompass all of your personal intentions and that of your family, but also our intention here at Relevant Radio, which is yours too, if you're part of the Relevant Radio family, and that is to meet our goal, our need of $2.7 million. I gave Mary a heart attack yesterday when I said $4.7 million, and she gently corrected me. And I'm glad she did, because $2.7 million is a lot easier to get to than what I misspoke about. The number to dial to be on the program today, as every day, is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Cyrus, I have a serious question for you.
Okay, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Yeah. You like my serious questions, don't you?
I look forward to them.
And I think you even had, you even made a, if I'm not mistaken, you made a spot about those serious questions. So I have a serious question for you. Have you ever flown a helicopter to get fast food?
I wish. That sounds awesome.
Do I take that as a no?
That's a no. Yeah, I've
not even once.
No.
You've never, not even once, you've never flown a helicopter?
Just
no, wait a minute.
Just to the show.
How did you have that sound effect ready? You didn't know I was going to talk about this.
I didn't. No, I didn't.
That is impressive. Oh, by the way, did you see the picture of you and me that I put on Twitter this morning?
Is that the one where I'm not sure which one of us is floating?
I'm not sure which one either is you and which one. It could be either one of us, but my quote was, people ask me, what's it like working with Cyrus on the radio each morning? I tell them, it's a total trip, man, a far-out trip.
Far out, man.
That's a pretty far-out picture, though.
Did you see my response?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of lame. I mean, what is that? There's some guy running. I thought,
and he
isn't
trips.
He trips.
He trips.
Look at
the
it
end
again.
And
he doesn't. Look at it. It never gets to the end.
I'm going to look at it right now.
Look at it right now. He's running.
Everybody, this is the first time Patrick's ever been wrong.
Look at that. He's running. It looks like he's going to do a long jump.
And then he falls on his face.
No, he doesn't. It doesn't continue.
It
loops.
All right.
All right, everybody. You take a look at it.
Yeah.
I think you grabbed the wrong one. No. But back to my picture about you and me working on the program together. I think that picture actually does say a lot about the program. Maybe it means that you make me look good or sound good. Maybe that's what it means. Maybe it means that I lift you up into the public view. It could mean that. Did you see the little tin can out front for donations?
Yeah,
that was the pledge drive.
That's
note.
Nice. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Picture says 1,000 words, right?
So back to my story. So you've never flown a helicopter. A 34-year-old licensed pilot, however, illegally parked a helicopter to let a passenger enter a Canadian Dairy Queen. The DQ, for short. A man has been charged for landing a helicopter in a busy parking lot in order to get some Dairy Queen. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police, they issued a news release detailing the incident, which reportedly took place on July the 31st, 2021. I think only the Pope is allowed to do that. The Pope can show up by helicopter, although I don't know if the Pope eats a Dairy Queen.
So this guy's getting fined?
Well, here's what it says. He reportedly landed a red helicopter in high traffic in a parking lot on 101st Street and Tisdale, and I guess this was in Saskatoon, about 5 p.m., so rush hour. I'm sure that complicated things. The RCMP was alerted to the helicopter's presence after receiving a complaint. Hey, there's a helicopter in the drive-through lane. It's taking too long. When it happened, the helicopter blew up dust and debris through the area, which includes schools, an aquatic center, and more. The pilot reportedly dropped off a passenger who picked up an ice cream cone. A cake, rather. An ice cream cake. The pilot was licensed, but he was charged for illegally landing the helicopter in an undesignated zone for a non-emergency purpose. I mean, you never know. I mean, what? I don't know what kind of emergency you would need an ice cream cake for.
Well, I guess if you have enough money to land a helicopter on a Dairy Queen, I bet that fine is nothing to him.
It's, probably not. Whatever. Now, I wonder who gets fined. Is it it must be the pilot, right? It wouldn't be the guy who hopped out to get the...
Right.
So his charges include one count of dangerous operation of an aircraft. The man is scheduled to appear in the Saskatchewan Provincial Court in September. This isn't the first food-related helicopter incident. You probably thought it was, Cyrus, but you'd be wrong. This isn't the first food-related helicopter incident to happen in 2021 either. A pilot in the UK was highly criticized by social media users in March for making an 80-mile round trip to pick up a sandwich, which led authorities to investigate whether the trip went against the country's travel guidelines that urged residents to avoid non-essential travel during COVID.
What? What is going on?
I know. 80 miles to get a sandwich.
In a helicopter.
I don't know which would be more bizarre, the 80 miles to get a sandwich. Well, that was in some kind of an aircraft. It doesn't say what kind it was. But speaking of bizarre, how about this one? Scotland will let pupils change. These are pupils, not your eyes. These are the little kids. They'll let pupils change their gender at age 4 without their parents' consent. And they tell teachers not to question the child's request. And I don't want to get deep into the story, but it's current, so I might as well throw it out there. Children as young as 4 will be able to change their gender at school without their parents' consent under guidance introduced in Scotland. Don't you love the word guidance? Everything is guidance now. That's not guidance. That is misguidance, if you ask me. This is from the Daily Mail. Any pupil who decides they want to switch gender must be supported and listened to in school following the Scottish government's advice. The guidance, I'm going to change this. I'm going to get out my red pen and do a little editorial here. The misguidance applies in primary schools where the youngest children are only 4 or 5 because, quote, recognition and development of gender identity can occur at a young age. The misguidance also tells teachers not to question a child who says they want to transition to live as a boy or a girl and instead ask for their new name and pronouns. I wonder if the child said, I want to transition to being an adult. And like Veruca Salt, I want it now. So I'm going to transition to be an adult so I don't have to go to school, because I don't think you have to go to school if you're over 18. Can I get an amen? So why don't these kids just take the easy route and just transition from being 4 years old to being 18 years old, then they don't have to go to school? Problem solved.
I want it now!
Exactly. And here's the beauty part about that, Cyrus. They don't have to get their parents' permission because they're 18. See?
See what you did there.
You know what? If they wanted to have a beer to celebrate, they probably should transition to 21. I don't know what the drinking age is in Scotland, but let's say that's happening here. I say, 4-year-old child, just transition to 21, in which case, A, you're an adult, B, you don't have to get your parents' permission, and C, you can celebrate with a beer because you're 21.
Get that in your spirit.
And if somebody says you're not 21 because of things like, you know, science, well, then they're haters and probably white supremacists, in which case you'll probably get... a lot of TikTok viewers. Scottish Education Secretary Shirley Ann Somerville says this misguidance outlines how schools can support transgender young people while ensuring that the rights of all pupils are fully respected. Schools have been told that they do not have to inform parents if a pupil informs them they wish to change gender. Primary and secondary schools have also been told to put books featuring transgender people on the curriculum, allow pupils to choose which changing room or toilets to use, and consider introducing gender-neutral uniforms.
This is bad enough when it's a 15-year-old or a 12-year-old. You're talking about a 4-year-old.
Well, I mean, unless they identify as 21, in which case, shut up, because you're a hater.
I guess I'm a hater.
You see how this works?
Yep.
But the misguidance was branded shocking, and it is, and led to concerns that children are being allowed to make life-changing lessons at too young an age. The advice says some young people are exploring their gender identity in primary school settings. Primary schools need to be able to blah, 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 blah. It's just blah, blah, blah. It's just gobbledygook. I don't even want to read it because we're out of duct tape. Are we out of duct tape or do we have some still? I just want to make sure we have some.
Yeah, you know what? Here, let me.
You should save it.
Not that. No, that's better.
I feel my skull pulsating right now. All right, but just keep that in reserve. I don't want to use too much of it right now. We have to take a break. We are going, as I said earlier, into Pledge Drive. This is day two of our Pledge Drive campaign to be fully funded for the next quarter. And we're going to listen to a message from Father Rocky right now. Then I'll be right back, joined by my colleague, Mary Graham.
Hi, it's Father Rocky here, asking you to reach out and respond because it's our summer pledge drive, and we've got a beautiful gift for you at the $50 a month level. It's a framed print under glass of Mary, Undoer of Knots. And that's a favorite devotion of our Holy Father, Pope Francis. In fact, he wrote a prayer about her, and the last paragraph goes like this. Through your grace, your intercession, and your example, deliver us from all evil, Our Lady, and untie the knots that prevent us from being united with God, so that we, free from sin and error, may find Him in all things, may have our hearts placed in Him, and may serve Him always in our brothers and sisters. This Mary Untier of Knots frame print is yours today for your gift of $50 a month to Relevant Radio. Call or give online now, 877-291-0123 or relevantradio.com.
Out and respond to this pledge drive. We need to raise $2.7 million by the end of the week, and we are sitting right now at, it looks like, 18%. We got a ways to go. We need your help. We need you to call now at 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. It is a partnership challenge hour, and even better than making the phone call, you can visit our website, relevantradio.com, or make your gift with the Relevant Radio app on your tablet or your smartphone. And we have an extra special bonus download that's coming your way. We need to see 100 gifts, 100 people reaching out during this hour to help us make our goal for the hour.
Indeed. And 100 sounds like a lot, but, you know, it really isn't if everybody gets in the harness and pulls. It just takes, I don't know, half a dozen people calling at any given time, and we can make that goal of 100 people this hour. Mm-hmm. The number is 877-291-0123. Mary, you mentioned that digital download. I'll just offer a word or two about that for people that haven't heard about it yet. Josh Raymond, who is the host of The Inner Life, which is the program that follows this program, he and I got together and had a discussion drawing upon our years of experience raising large families. He's got a lot of kids. I've got a lot of kids. And we wanted to share with you, as a parent, or maybe you're a grandparent, or you're just a concerned onlooker, what you can do in practical terms to help your children come back to the Catholic faith. So this is all new material. No one has heard it before other than those who have received their digital download by making their pledge yesterday. But you can do it today by going to relevantradio.com, make your pledge there or on the Relevant Radio app, and we'll send you that 45-minute discussion. I think it's 40 to 45 minutes long. Practical tips from two veteran parents about what you can do to help your children come home. And the things we share with you really do work. And you'll see why when, well, you'll hear why when you hear this particular talk. So don't miss out. Make your pledge, and we'll send you that when you pledge online or using the Relevant Radio app.
That's relevantradio.com or the app on your smartphone. Real easy to give. We need everyone to join in and do your part now, looking for 100 people. 100 people this hour who will step up and help support this local station. The other nice thing, too, is when you do visit our website, relevantradio.com, or use your app, you get to see the great premium gifts we have available for you today. Make that gift today of $1 a day, or perhaps you can do $50 a month. Whatever you can do, we need you to help us out. 100 people during this next hour. We need you to give us a call, 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. Reach out and respond.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Cyrus, I need to inform you that people are starting to gang up on you now because you insisted that the GIF that you posted in response to what I posted about our show this morning on Twitter, you insisted that the guy trips at the end. He does not trip at the end. And Claudia Flores Ortiz says, sorry, Cyrus, he doesn't trip at my end either.
But, all right. It did when I was looking at it. All right, I'm looking at it right now.
Look at it on Twitter.
He's running. Oh, and then it cuts. No.
See? Claudia is right.
You were right. I was wrong.
I know. Repeat that, please. I want to record that.
All right.
Now, I want to, before we get into this next subject, and this is something that I had talked about on the program a number of times, not too many times, I don't know, maybe a couple, three times, about how different cultures around the world knew about the Great Flood. I want to talk about that a little bit, and we'll do that in a second. First, though, before I forget, I want to comment on something I was very disappointed to see on Twitter yesterday, and it is disappointing. I called it pathetic, and what I mean by that is that it's surprising and saddening that people would respond to the plight of the refugees in Afghanistan. We saw this unfolding yesterday, and after the show was over, I posted a picture from the Daily Mail of a U.S. cargo plane, a C-17 cargo jet, huge. They put tanks and jeeps and all kinds of personnel in these planes. They're designed to carry 150 people. And if you were watching the news clips yesterday, you saw just thousands of people scrambling to try to get on these planes because they were the last planes out from the airport in Kabul. And it was just so horrifying to see these people who knew, many of them, that they would be targets of the Taliban. That's already happening now, where women are being, well, you know, and girls, there are lists of girls being made to be given to, you know, given in quote marriage to the fighters and such. People are being killed indiscriminately. Executions are starting up. I mean, just within a day now, this is already going on. So anyway, I posted a picture from the Daily Mail. It's shocking and amazing when you see this. You'll see it on my Twitter feed. And it's 640 Afghan people sitting basically on the floor of this plane. And they made it. Somehow they were able to scramble onto this plane. And the story goes that 640 Afghans on a U.S. C-17 cargo jet designed to carry 150 people, after they ran on before soldiers could close the ramp and the pilot decided to take off from Kabul and save them. And so my comment was, God bless that pilot for saving all these innocent lives. And then as a subtext to that, I put, give that pilot a promotion and a medal. He's a modern day Oscar Schindler. And then to my unhappy surprise, I didn't expect this, but it happened. Person after person after person, not all of them, but enough of them said, well, you don't know that they're innocent. How come they're all young males? How come they're all military age males? Now, if you zoom in, you'll see that they're not. There are many males in there, true, but there are mostly males, but there are many women, and there are plenty of kids, little babies. There are plenty of children tucked in their mother's arms, little girls, little boys. I mean, hardly any group of people is without a child. And so, yeah, okay, there are definitely a lot of young men in there, but these people were in danger of being slaughtered. You saw what happened when they were clinging to the airplanes from on the outside. I mean, talk about hopeless desperation. And as these planes were taking off, the pilots were saying, we got to go. We can't stay here. Well, there are people clinging to the outside of the plane. I'm sorry, we've got to go. And as the plane took off, these people are falling from the outside. That's how desperate they were to get away from the Taliban. So I must say, and I want to go on record saying this, it's more than disappointing. It's shameful that people's first thought is, well, they're probably, you know, these young men and they haven't been vetted. And one person said, you don't know that they're all innocent. Major vetting needs to happen. Well, of course, major vetting needs to happen. Of course it does. That's a given. And we all know what can happen when people try to masquerade as a refugee and come in and try to do harm. We saw that with ISIS and Al-Qaeda throughout Europe. So, I mean, that goes without saying. But have a heart, at least, especially if you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ. Have a heart. Recognize that under similar circumstances, you know, if you're a military-aged male and you and your wife and your two children are trying to stay alive and you got on that plane, how would you feel if somebody back home said, yeah, well, we don't know that they're innocent? Anyway, I'll leave it at that. It's just, it's pathetic. And it doesn't mean that we can't be responsible. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't take care of our borders and take care of our security. I mean, all of those things are self-evidently true. But in the meantime, people are dying. And what are you going to do? Say, okay, all right, everybody off, because we don't know if you're innocent or not. And we don't know, hey, you're a military-age male, you better get off this plane. But they're going to kill me. Well, sorry, you're a military-age male. So please don't think like that. Please, we have to be compassionate. Not foolish, but compassionate. And when that plane load of people got where it was going, and I read a little further, and it looks like these people are going to be dispersed in the United States, and I hope and pray after some serious vetting takes place. But don't confuse our need for law and order and security with compassion in the moment for people who really need help. That's what I wanted to say. And there I've said it. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Jennifer in Barrington, Rhode Island. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Patrick. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I called you actually over a year ago, as maybe even 2 years ago, regarding a teaching job that I was taking as a public school teacher in the high school where I live. And I never could have imagined what was coming my way. And I'm calling in response to what you were speaking about earlier with the gender policies in schools. And I'm experiencing it firsthand already. I experienced it this past year.
So you did take the job then?
I did, yes. Okay. So I teach history of all topics in a public high school in a very progressive-leaning town.
Okay.
And I have already encountered what you were talking about earlier, and I felt compelled to call to confirm that this is happening and that parents do not need to know. It is correct that this is happening. Not
so
that it's
let me slow it down. Let me just slow it down for a second. So you're now teaching in high school, public high school, and you're connecting with what I was saying earlier about in Scotland, the 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds who, under the misguidance from the school districts there, now can quote unquote change gender and their parents cannot be notified by the teachers. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay. So what's happening in your particular situation? And are you putting yourself in any jeopardy by being on the program publicly like this?
Probably. I mean, it's totally possible. I'm aware of that, actually. I'm aware of that. I went to a meeting recently, so that was talking about the woman you spoke about in Rhode Island who is being sued by the National Teacher Association. I met her last week at a meeting.
Okay.
So
okay.
All this is happening.
So tell me what's happening in your case.
In my case, and it's just really for information purposes for people around the country, in our high school, there's something that is a policy. It's a state policy that our district has adopted, and it is called the Gender Support Plan. And in the high school, this may pertain to the middle school as well.
We're out of time, Jennifer. Forgive me. Stand by. I'd like to hear more about this, but we just don't have time. So stay right there, and I'll come back to you on the other side of this quick break. Thank you, Jennifer. Well, speaking of breaks, we're going to be talking about Pledge Drive. This is day 2 of our Pledge Drive. We're building some momentum, but we really need to build quite a bit more. And listen to Jennifer. I mean, she's a good example of the people who really need the support that Relevant Radio gives on a day-in and day-out basis.
I got to tell you, there is so much need for prayer throughout the world. And that's what we do here at Relevant Radio. We unite our hearts and our souls, and we pray for each other, and we lift each other up. It's that light of hope and joy for so many people, especially those who are in some of these very dramatic situations right now, like those who are in Haiti, who've just experienced the the earthquake, and we've got the folks in Afghanistan. They're all suffering so much. And we're here for you. And because this radio station, this local station, goes beyond your local community, it extends throughout the entire world on the web, and we can be that light of hope to those who are suffering. They can tune in for that, for those words of encouragement that they might need. And some good news during this pledge drive. Relevant Radio is tithing 10% of our pledge drive dollars to those in Haiti, to those who are suffering the earthquakes in Haiti. This is your chance to live out your faith through the corporal works of mercy. We're going to provide food and water, medicine, shelter, and the dignity of a proper burial for those who have perished. So when you make your gift, when you reach out and respond, you know that you're giving twice. You're not only supporting your local station, you're supporting those who are suffering in Haiti.
Yes, that where do I begin? That story is so heartbreaking because the people there are so poor by and large. They don't have access to clean water. I mean, you mentioned dignified burials for people. It's beyond the ability of so many of these people to even have something like that to lay to rest a loved one who died in the earthquake. So it's misery upon misery, and we want to do something to help, a tangible, real thing. And we know you want to do the same thing. So if you feel like we do, and you want to do something not only to help Relevant Radio, but to help the poor, suffering people in Haiti, regardless of what their religion may be, then help us by calling 877-291-0123 or go to relevantradio.com and make your pledge safe and secure, or use the Relevant Radio app. And as Mary said, we will be tithing 10% of whatever we make throughout this pledge drive to go directly to Haiti to help those people.
Make the gifts online at relevantradio.com or use the app on your smartphone. 877-291-0123 is the number to call. If you need to reach out on the phone line, we need 100 people participating during this hour. So far, we've had about 15. So we got a long ways to go. We need you to join us. We need you to join the team. Yes. The numbers went, ouch. We need to move faster here, folks. We need your help. We need you to reach out and respond at relevantradio.com. Use the app on your smartphone. Or call 877-291-0123. We still need 80 people. 80 people in the next 30 minutes. Be one of those 80.
The Relevant Radio Reach Out and Respond Summer Pledge Drive continues.
Reach out and respond.
We are back. Cyrus, I don't know what you're doing over there, but you retweeted that picture and he still doesn't fall.
I know. It's on my screen. At the very end, he falls right on his face, and it's really funny. But when you go back to look at it, they cut the end.
Yeah.
Of the they cut trimmed the punchline off.
They trimmed it. That's right. Well, try again.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Jennifer in Barrington, Rhode Island. Jennifer, so for those who are just tuning in right now, you called in because you and I spoke on this program a year or so ago. And you were talking about the looking for a job and having to deal with the transgender nonsense, the ideology in schools. And now you've been working and you were about to tell me about what's going on. So why don't we pick it up from there?
Sure. Yes. And actually, when I had called you, I didn't know that this was on the horizon. And I just was calling about just general concerns about where things were going. Mm-hmm. And now it is front and center. And so as I was mentioning, we have in our district, we've adopted a state policy. I live in Rhode Island. Our district has adopted a policy that supports what's called a gender support plan. Mm-hmm. And if a student would like to be referred to by a different name or different pronouns, a different gender, then they can obtain a gender support plan. And as a result of this, the administration and teachers and anyone in the building is required by this policy to adhere to whatever's in the plan.
And can you, as a woman, get that gender policy or gender support plan?
I'm sorry?
Can you, as a woman, can you avail yourself of that gender support plan in the context of the school? Can you, you know, claim that right for yourself, or is that only for trans people?
That's a great question. I would imagine it would be very supportive and inclusive of anyone who's working there. Mm-hmm. But I know that it's specifically, to my knowledge, I haven't read it yet, and I want to read it now.
Yeah.
it pertains to teachers. I mean, to students.
So, oh, so it's not students, okay. I see. It's just for students. Okay.
Yes, okay. I believe so. And a student can choose whether or not they want the parents to know.
Okay.
It's up to the student. So, I already had a student this year who went through this change. I mean, not with the hormones, but with just wanting to be referred differently, referred to differently. And in this case, I inquired. I went to my principal and said, do the parents know? And in this case, they did. Mm-hmm. And in this case, they supported it.
Okay.
And so I am calling you because I feel like as a Catholic, and I do practice my faith and try to follow it as best I can, I need some guidance, like where I'm crossing lines. Like in this case, I said, okay, the parents know and the parents support it. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't agree with it, but I called the
student. Okay, let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'll do my best. What is it that they're asking you to do as the teacher?
To change, well, to refer to the student how the student wants to be called. So in my take on that is to, in effect, acknowledge that this child is a different gender with a different mm-hmm. name and different pronouns.
Yeah, and my position has been that it doesn't help the person who, I mean, I don't think that many of these young people, these children, are really experiencing that kind of gender dysphoria. Some maybe, but I know how trendy these things are. So my guess is that a lot of them are just kind of doing what they see other people doing. But regardless.
There's a trend, actually.
I'll bet. And I don't understand it. I mean, I just don't understand. Is it happening? Let me ask you this question. Is it happening more among girls in your experience, or is it more or less evenly divided between girls and boys?
I'm finding it to be more common with girls, that boys who are dealing with gender concerns, gender issues, are tending to stay known as gay.
Yeah.
But it's more of the girls who, and there's a lot of that. Well, not a lot, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more of a trend that I'm noticing among girls. And I have a son who's in middle school, and he has shared with me that actually there are more and more girls and also boys, and it's actually quite popular. It's a thing.
Hmm.
So the younger you go, the more we're finding.
Okay, I just want to make sure I understand. So what is the thing among the boys? It's to pass themselves as transgender?
Well, there are boys who are passing themselves as transgender, but more so, in my experience, boys are identifying themselves as gay, there are more girls who are identifying themselves as bisexual or transgender. And the younger you go, at least in the middle school years, it's becoming more prevalent and even popular to do so.
Yeah. So back to what they're asking of you. So they want you to use the pronouns?
The pronouns and the different name.
Is there anything?
The kids will change their name.
Is there anything beyond that that they're asking of you?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Well, to go back to what I was referring to a minute ago, my position has been all along that we're not helping the other person by playing into something that's objectively not true. And you've heard me use the analogy of a girl who has anorexia as an example, an eating disorder in which she's firmly convinced that she's overweight, but she's not. She's actually wasting away. The intelligent and humane thing to do, the loving thing to do, excuse me, is to help her overcome that inaccurate way of seeing herself rather than play into it, in which case soon enough you'll have a dead girl because she will starve herself to death. So I take that approach to this issue. I know it's not exactly the same thing, but there are similarities there. And so I personally recoil at the idea I've got something in my throat, excuse me. I recoil at the idea of playing into that. But on the other hand, You know, you're not in that specific act itself is not immoral on your part, but it is unpleasant and it's not what you would want to do. But I think if that were the only thing that they were asking you to do, and of course you need your job, you need to help feed your family and such, I could see where that would be permissible. If it went beyond that and they wanted you to start glorifying it or endorsing it or promoting it, then I would say, well, I'm going to have to find another job. But if this child wants to be called such and such a name and that's all they're asking of you, I think I could see where you would have some daylight there. If that's what you're asking,
well, they're also like the gender. Like I'm supposed, yes, I am, because I know it's going to happen. I pray it doesn't happen soon, but it probably will. That I'm going to encounter a situation where I have a student who chooses not to tell their parents, and that's really for me at this point where I feel like this is crossing a line for me morally, yeah, as a parent myself, to be required to
conceal that from the parents,
address the students. Yeah, to conceal it. And there is the age of consent of 18. And I feel like I just, and so I'm asking your guidance. I don't want to go on and on. So
I understand. I would trust your conscience.
You quit at that point. I mean, I know you. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I apologize for interrupting, but I'm looking at the break, which is about to start in just a few seconds. So, yes, I think you have to trust your conscience on this one, especially because your conscience is ringing an alarm bell saying that this is too far. I can't go in this direction. I wouldn't want to go even a step in that direction. And if necessary, I would quit my job if I had to do that. And yeah. I think it sounds to me like that's what your conscience is reminding you of, that you're, even if like a little incremental step in that direction is more than what you want to do. Final question, Jennifer, yeah, is it possible that you could get a job maybe at a Catholic school or something? Could you jump to a different position where you don't have to deal with this?
I'm thinking about it. I've looked on, yeah, our diocese's website. There's nothing available at the moment for what I teach, but
okay.
Yeah, I'm ready to do what I have to do. I just was interested in your perspective, so thank you very much.
You're welcome. One thing to consider would be maybe to put yourself out there as a consultant for homeschooling co-ops and homeschooling groups. You know, the moms really appreciate people like yourself who have teaching credentials and the experience to do that, and I wouldn't be surprised if you could make maybe even more money doing something like that and assisting homeschool parents, maybe online via Zoom or something like that. That's another option, and then you wouldn't have to answer to any school board for something like this. That may be another opportunity.
Interesting. That's a great idea. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
very
you
nice
very
to
much.
Talk to you.
I appreciate it, Patrick.
You're welcome. Let's talk again down the road, and we'll see how things are shaking out for you. God bless you. Okay, quick timeout. We will hear now a miracle moment from people just like you who are listening to Relevant Radio and having life-changing experiences.
Here's another miracle moment on Relevant Radio.
Got a great testimony on my book, too. I was going to share it during the chat, but one lady wrote to me. She had all these intentions she was sharing with me, but she says, I gave it to my sister. My brother-in-law is, he was either atheist or Protestant, and he just didn't believe, right? Read the book, and now he's praying the chaplet every day. So, I love it. Yeah, I mean, here's a guy who, I think she said he was an atheist, didn't believe in God. Now he's now praying the chaplet.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you.
Call and donate now.
When you call, ask about making a recurring gift.
Recurring gift partners provide a stable, continuous source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expenses and dependency on pledge drives. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society today at relevantradio.com or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Phone lines are open right now, but better yet, the website is always open, and so is that app on your smartphone or your tablet, relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app. Tell you what, Patrick, we are in a little bit of a desperate need right now. We're still only looking at about 25 people have joined the team for this hour. So we need some folks who can come in with those $1,000 gifts, $1,200 gifts, $5,000, $10,000 gifts. We definitely need those right now if we're going to make up for lost time already for this morning. And if you can make the special gift of $1,200 or $100 more, $100 per month, we have a beautiful statue of you. It's Mary, Mother of God statue. It's gorgeous. When you visit the website or you open up the app on your phone, you can see that statue. We will send you that as our thank you gift.
Yeah, and speaking of thank you gifts, you will get another thank you gift digitally downloaded immediately when you make your pledge online at relevantradio.com or by going to the Relevant Radio app. And the reason we want to get to this in your hands right away is because it's a talk that Josh Raymond and I gave. I keep calling it a talk. It's really a conversation in which we offer you practical advice on how you can help your children or your grandchildren or just people that you care about to come back to the Catholic faith, those who have wandered away. And we know that this is a huge need for so many people. Probably you know somebody in that situation, and you're just at your wit's end wondering, what can you do? Well, we show you what you can do and what things really work, and we want you to have that. So when you make your pledge, go to relevantradio.com or use the Relevant Radio app, and we will make sure you get that digital download immediately.
So if you ever wanted to be a fly on the wall, visit our website right now at relevantradio.com or open up that app on your smartphone or call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. And you can be that fly on the wall as Patrick and Josh have their conversation about how to lead your loved ones back to the church. It's a great gift, and it is yours when you make your gift online at relevantradio.com or by using the app. And remember, the most important reason to keep these stations on the air across the world, really through the web, is because we reach out to so many people who are suffering. And 10% of what we raise this week during this pledge drive, we will be donating to Haiti for
the earthquake relief.
Wanting to say hurricane, living in Florida.
Well, they're having a hurricane on top of that now.
That's true for the earthquake relief. So know that when you give, you're giving twice here at Relevant Radio. Visit our website, relevantradio.com. Open up that app on your smartphone. Still needing about 75 people who will join our team here in the next 15 minutes. If you can make those special gifts of $1,200 or a $5,000 or $10,000 gift, we really, really could use your help right now.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. This is our normal programming. You can be on the air by calling me at 888-914-9149. Let's get over to Edward quickly in Los Angeles. Hi, Edward.
Hi, Patrick. I have a question about the Council of Trent.
Yeah. What's the question?
So I spoke to a Protestant, and they said that they anathematized biblical teachings. So did the Council of Trent anathematize biblical teachings such as the words in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, in canons 15 and 16?
Are you asking about salvation and justification, that you can know that you're saved?
Yes.
Well, the way you're asking the question needs a little tweaking. So the answer is no, they did not. They, being the fathers at the Council of Trent, did not anathematize the Word of God in Scripture, but rather they anathematized a misunderstanding of the Word of God in Scripture. And so when St. John refers to that you have been saved, he's talking about the act of salvation as accomplished by Christ on the cross, that is received by the sinner by grace through faith, as it says in Ephesians 2. So properly understood, that's a moral assurance of salvation. And what the Council of Trent anathematized was what many Protestants cling to, which is an absolute assurance of salvation. So that's a misunderstanding or a twisting of the Scriptures that holds that you, no matter what happens, once you've been saved, that you are once saved, always saved, and that you can't lose your salvation. So the error, the misunderstanding of God's word in Scripture, was anathematized, but not God's word in Scripture, if you see the difference.
What exactly is it the assurance of again?
Well, as I said, so there is a moral assurance of salvation, meaning that God will not go back on his promises. And there is what's thought of as an absolute assurance of salvation, which was the error that the council was dealing with in that section in when it anathematized those heresies. And the error is to say that no matter what happens, I can't lose my salvation. Once I'm saved, I'm always saved, and there's no undoing that. And that,
eternal
of course,
security.
Is Exactly, eternal security. And that is contrary to Scripture. That notion is contrary to Scripture, rightly understood. So that's what the council is anathematizing there.
Thank you so much, Patrick. God bless you.
You're welcome. Thank you. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Let's go now to Liz in New Jersey. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Patrick. I was just listening and happened to come in on a conversation you had with the teacher.
Yeah.
Well, I work in a hospital and the end result of these decisions that are being made.
You mean like the surgeries? Sex reassignment surgeries? Okay.
Yes, yes. And I have been wrestling with this for quite some time. And I've just prayed about it, and I've come to the conclusion that this has already been decided, this process has already been started, and I just feel like I'm in a position of assisting the demise and sterilization of women, young women, and that's, you know, and that's how I've dealt with it, and I'm just wondering if I'm right, and I've prayed about it, and I've gotten peace about it, but then again, I was listening, and...
Yeah. I hear your voice quavering.
So I'm asking what you think.
I can hear in your voice the pain that you're experiencing.
It upsets me. It really does. It makes me sad that these kids do this.
Yeah. I cannot imagine, Liz, a teenager, boy or girl, going in and having surgery to mutilate the body, only to maybe and very likely even regret it some years down the road. I can't fathom that. And you're right to be upset. I mean, a normal person, and you are a normal person, because any normal person would be greatly bothered by this, as you are. So what are you contemplating? Are you thinking of changing jobs?
Well, that's, you know, I'm near retirement, so it's like I don't want to lose my pension, and I don't want, you know, because it's really I'm in a quandary.
Yeah. Can
and
you
I don't
transfer?
Think that I'm doing anything sinful.
Can you let me come back to that, Liz. Can you transfer to a different department, obstetrics or some other department where you don't have to be involved with this?
Not really, no.
It's impossible?
No, it's not impossible. It's very possible. I've been contemplating doing that as well, but it's
okay.
Really kind of hard to you know.
Yeah.
I've really prayed about it. I've had, you know, my feeling, it just, no, it hurts the Lord.
I think it hurts the Lord. I agree with you. I think it is seriously sinful to mutilate your body unless there's some compelling medical reason to do so, like you have gangrene, so you amputate your leg. Sometimes that's necessary, but this, of course, is not necessary. This is a wanton mutilation of the body, and there is no justifiable reason for it under these circumstances. So please forgive me, Liz, for being forthright with you on this issue. But the reason that you're bothered by this is because your conscience is telling you there's something seriously wrong here. And what it amounts to is that you are actually complicit. You're participating in an approximate, meaning that you're very close to this because you're there in the operating room, and material way. You're physically participating in something that's really wrong. And that's why your conscience is bothering you.
Right, but I'm not in the OR. I recover these patients in the recovery room.
I see. Well, fair enough. Fair enough. I understand. Gosh, we have to take a break. Do you want to talk a little bit more, or do you want to think about it and we'll talk again?
Well, I'm certainly going to take into consideration what you say, because I've really got to have a discussion with you.
Thank you. How about this, Liz? Call me back sometime soon, and we'll pick this up again. Thank you, Liz. God bless you.
You know, as we look at what everybody is struggling with throughout the world, everybody's carrying so many crosses. And I got to be honest, this morning at Mass, I was lifting everybody up, everyone who's calling in today, not knowing what those phone calls were going to be or what your needs were going to be. I was lifting everybody up at Mass. I even got up actually early and made it in for the rosary before the Eucharist this morning.
Nice.
So all that for our listeners today. And that's what we do for you here at Relevant Radio. We can't always fix everything, but we certainly can lift you up in prayer. And together, as people are hearing these people's needs throughout the listening areas, we're all joining together and we're hitting our knees and we're praying for you. That's what we're all about here at Relevant Radio, helping each other and helping to be that light of hope. Help keep these local stations on the air. We need your help, falling real short this hour, but we really need everyone at this point to reach out and respond.
Yeah, respond is the key word. Respond, and you can do it in one of three ways. Call us at 877-291-0123. We have operators standing by right now. They'll talk to you. They'll take your prayer request. You heard that caller we just had a moment ago. She's in great distress, and maybe you're feeling similarly because of situations in your own life. Let us pray for you. Call us at 877-291-0123. Make a pledge and tell us how we can pray for you. You can also make your pledge safe and secure at relevantradio.com or go to the Relevant Radio app. Any of the three or all of the three, if you like to do that, but please do so now.
And as you know, we had the earthquakes in Haiti. I keep wanting to say hurricane. I live in Florida. It's what we have here.
Yeah.
The earthquakes in Haiti, 10% of what we raise this week will be given to Haiti. So think about it. When you give here, you're giving twice. You're giving to help those in Haiti who are suffering. We're going to, through the church, we're going to help perform the corporal works of mercy by providing food and water and medicine and shelter. And most importantly, the dignity of a proper burial for those who have perished. So please pray for everyone in Haiti, and when you make your gift, know that you are also helping support them. Phones need to be ringing. We need people reaching out at the website, relevantradio.com, or using that app on your smartphone. Still waiting. We need to receive a $5,000 or $10,000 gift this hour. We are falling about 70 calls short, 70 people short of what we need to make our goal for the hour. So if you can make a $5,000 or $10,000 gift, you can help carry the load, help carry that cross, be the Simon for someone else who is suffering right now and they can't make the gift. We need you to join us and we need your help.
I like, Mary, how you mentioned Simon and Simon of Cyrene, who helped carry the cross of Jesus. Is that what you're thinking of?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah. So we have the way for you to do that. If you simply go to relevantradio.com and make your pledge there, or if you go using the Relevant Radio app, you can do the same thing, or call us at 877-291-0123. And remember this, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. And what that means is, maybe as you look back on your past life, you're ashamed about some things that happened. You're sorry. You grieve over some of the things that happened. Just know that the Lord forgives you. If you've gone and made a good confession, you're forgiven. There's no question about it. But your giving alms will help to be a kind of restitution for those things that have happened in life. So give alms liberally and think about that, how it covers, as the Bible says, a multitude of sins. So think about that when you make your pledge.
Thank you for that gift. There we've had a couple of people who've reached out and responded and said, okay, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to help out. But we need everyone who's listening right now to do their part. If it's a $10 or a $15 or a $20 gift, that's okay. That helps. That makes a difference. We get 100 people doing that and it adds up real fast. But if you can make that gift right now of $1,200 or even a $5 or $10 or $25,000 gift, if God's put you in a position where you can do that and you can hear our voices, there's a reason. We need you to reach out at relevantradio.com, open up that app on your smartphone, or even call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. Just a couple of minutes left in this hour, and we are very, very short of our need up for this hour. So we need you to reach out. We need you to help us out at relevantradio.com. Use your app on your smartphone. You'll get that great download from Patrick Madrid and Josh Raymond. A little conversation between the two of them on how you can help bring your loved ones back to the church is our number one prayer request here at Relevant Radio. Reach out and respond. We need $2.7 million before the end of the week. It's only going to happen with your help. 877-291-0123.